Welcome back to the Meal Deals Podcast. This is episode number 17. My name is Eric Wing, and I'm with
Rafael Perez.
And unfortunately, Victoria is temporarily unavailable due to some family circumstances, but we are moving forward with another episode with just Rafael and I again. And
yes,
this topic is just about entertainment in general, things we are pursuing, indulging in, movies, films, books,
right?
Anything at all.
Well, you want to start off with how was your first week?
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Out of the three of us, I just started school a week ago, and I officially finished my first week. My first week has been fine. I definitely think that from my first experience with my first term, I definitely have more of a, I'm definitely more mentally prepared on how to attack this semester and what to do. I think I manage my time better. I understand what I'm expecting, what I'm thinking about what to do for next week. Like, I understand, like, oh, these exams are going to come up. Like, I'm more mentally prepared and ready to manage my time more.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure other college students, like, going through that right now, too.
Oh, for sure.
And then, like, me and Victoria start school tomorrow. I'm hoping for the best, you know, hoping that we have great acquaintances or great classmates and great professors, you know, but, you know, that's not mostly the case. But yeah, but in the same time, I actually can't wait to start class again. I feel kind of guilty just like because like I also have a feeling of like, let's just get this over with. Then just like, oh yes, I'm ready to learn. And things like that. It's just more of like, you know, because the thing is throughout winter break, I noticed that like, I was like focusing way too much on the things that I want to do. And I hope that doesn't really change anything throughout this semester. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that perfectly makes sense. I think sometimes we romanticize the expectations we have for every semester. Yeah. Or the expectations we have when we enter school or enter the classroom, like, oh, I'm thinking that I'm imagining that this is going to happen, but sometimes it doesn't, or sometimes it does. Sometimes out of nowhere you meet a whole new friend, and sometimes you don't meet any new people. Like, you still have kind of the same old what you think might happen in the last term.
Right. But yeah,
yeah, besides that, school has been fine.
Right.
Definitely excited. First week is kind of like the grace period of like getting settled back into it after winter break.
Right. Yeah.
And by the way, I hope you guys, or whoever listened to this who are in school, I hope your winter break has been fine as well. I hope you guys enjoyed the winter break, enjoyed Christmas, enjoyed New Year's. Hopefully your 2020 New Year's resolutions or your 2020 has been going fine so far.
Yeah. I mean, not for politics,
you know. Oh, not, you know, for politics.
Yeah, now that the World War III memes are going on around between America and Iran.
It's so funny. It's such a meme about how like the first meme of 2020 is the idea.
Like, we already started off a little bad, you know. But at the same time, individually, you know, most of us are like, you know, just going through the same thing as every day.
Yeah, and you know, today's the 12th, so only 12 days has passed so far for 2020.
That's true. Yeah,
and I think those 12 days I really like did a lot of things, especially since coming back to school in the first week of 2020 has been a lot, and a lot of decisions have been made during that week.
Yeah, and talking about, you know, memes and things, let's talk about entertainment. You know, not what we just did in winter break, but also like how basically entertainment kind of can influence, well, not that can influence, like how they influence our lives in general.
For sure.
Not that it also influenced, like, I guess you can say, like, I guess it changed our perspective in things, maybe movies, books, videos on YouTube, podcasts, music, anything like that.
It's kind of mind boggling to me that the idea that there's so much info out there and you can just consume that info. Like, to me, I don't know. I was watching this YouTuber And he was talking about martial arts, and he was talking about this kid has wrote a message to this YouTuber asking for advice that this kid has been practicing this art for this, like boxing, for example. This guy has practiced boxing for a couple of months so far, but then he feels like he doesn't have the opportunity to pursue that martial art anymore. He has other things in his lives, and he always wants to be kind of like the best martial artist he can be, but he's not thinking that he wants to be a pro fighter. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be like he doesn't want to be a fighter, but he still wants to practice the martial arts and everything that is related to martial arts. He wants to like experiment and like explore. And he's in 10th grade, and the YouTuber responded. He was like, well, the thing that sets you different from other martial artists, because he was saying like, oh, I want to be Bruce Lee because Bruce Lee has done all of this, and I admire that. Like, if I don't practice it now, then I won't be him. And the YouTuber responded. He was like, well, the greatest advantage you have is, for one, you have time. Like, you're only in 10th grade, and you have the rest of your life to make your own decisions and always get back into whatever you want to do as a passion. Mm-hmm. And for two, is that what we have drastically different from in the past is the amount of information we have. Yeah. And back then, the internet wasn't available to martial artists. Wasn't available to anyone. And then you can't really share that information. Like, the idea of only being able to find your own research through only books. Well, books is an option now when we do our own research. But the idea of, like, you can only go to a library and find books, rather than you can find your own digital library and find a book's internet digital copy already there. And that stuck to me, because in the past, even when we were born growing up, the internet was still like a growing thing.
But yeah, it wasn't really common. Yeah. It was just more, I remember, like, when I was living in Puerto Rico, we only have one computer, and like none of us even use the computer, because like this internet service was like kind of or like a little bit wonky at the time, so it wasn't like, you know, there's no point of using a computer. You know, we thought like the computer was just the worstless thing, but now it's just more like in today, you know, computer is everything now. You know, we're relying like a lot on the computer, which can be good and bad, can be a blessing and a curse, but you can't deny that it's the part of our daily life now. You know,
yeah,
you can't go on another day without looking at a phone or a laptop or a desktop, anything like that. You mm-hmm. know,
in middle school, my eighth grade history teacher, she's like, she's very old, and she's lived through the creation of the internet and what has evolved to today. And she's been saying that the internet has been kind of something that you can't, it's almost necessary to like use. Like, you can't really avoid the internet now, especially in eighth grade. It was like pretty certain. But now looking back now to today, is the internet is basically everywhere. Like,
yeah,
the internet is a necessary tool in my eyes now that everyone uses it.
Have you watched South Park?
Yeah, I watched South Park.
Sorry, voice crack. But like, yeah,
mic off.
So, have you seen the episode of where like the internet was shut off and like no one has the internet, to the point of like they had to move to another place, and there were like a bunch of tents, like they had to like their own shelter, and like they had like only three computers, and you can only use like the internet for like only like 10 minutes.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and then like. What?
So were they like freaking out? I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. It was like.
What did they look like? They had tents. Like, they looked.
No,
like
it was like just imagine like there's like a natural disaster, and you know the home got destroyed. So like they built like a shelter like with like tents and things like that. That's what happened to you know Randy, mm-hmm. Dan Rand, like yeah. Like their family like moved to like.
Yo, Randy's so funny.
Yeah, and then just like, because the thing is like, and this is like. Well, we can talk about this like in another podcast, but it's like kind of also related to porn addiction, where like Randy was like, you know, he always like, you know, doing his own thing by himself, and then like now the internet shuffles off, he's like, bro, I need to jerk off, like I need to go somewhere. So then like they move to another thing, and then like, you know, then like he finds out he can only use it for 10 minutes like in public, and he's like, dude, I can't do this, you know, you don't understand, bro. Like he talked to the army, he was like, bro, I know you can feel me, dog. Like, I need to do this.
What did the army respond?
He's just like, dog, like, calm the fuck down. He's like, get back where you come from. You know, like, no. You
wait, why did, go back to your tent. Why did the internet get shut down in the first place?
I don't know. You just, like, I don't remember. But you just, like, everyone, like, turns, like, everyone's internet got shut down.
That's so funny. Have you ever watched the scene? I watched, if you guys haven't found out now, but I always watch scenes of, like, a bunch of, like, YouTube recommendations. So I watch a bunch of scenes, like, Rick and Morty. I watch a bunch of scenes of South Park.
Oh, yeah, like, South Park and Family Guy.
Yeah, so mostly. I don't watch full episodes, but I remember the scene when, like, they had a Walmart open up in their town.
Oh, yeah, and then, like, and shut it down stores.
Yeah, it dragged out all the small businesses.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the idea of, like, South Park making these kind of concepts is kind of, it's super cool to me because it's a lot of satire. Like, a lot of irony, like, South Park does. Like, I remember, you ever watched a movie called Human Centipede?
Have you heard of it, the concept? Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I seen the trailer for the second one, the third one, but I seen the first part of the first movie. So I didn't get to the gross out part.
Yeah. For sure. I never watched a movie, but I watched, like, a good amount of scenes.
Are you about to talk about where Kyle got into this?
Yeah, so...
was it Walmart? It was Apple.
It was Apple. Yeah, so basically, they made fun of Steve Jobs and the company Apple by... making, you know how, like, when you read terms and agreements, most of the time a lot of people don't read the terms and agreements, so they're just signing away something, maybe their privacy or maybe something they can't do with the app. Specifically Apple, their terms and agreements are really long, especially for iOS updates. Like, it's like 24 pages, and they're like,
well, I mean, it's just not Apple too. It's just like, yeah, it's any, like, it's just like any type of, like, entertainment. Well, yeah, like games, apps. Yeah,
especially games when you want to download something.
Especially when you try to sign up for something.
Yeah.
For a service. That's when, like, you know, you got to read the terms and conditions.
But they specifically target Apple because of their terms and agreements. And Apple is it reaches such a wide audience with all their Apple products. So they had Kyle. He was he saw the terms and agreements for his, like, Apple product. And he just signed it away. And then he got kidnapped by Apple, and he was put into, like, a room with, like, other people. And he was like,
so he was, like, basically, like, an experiment.
Yeah, he was like, why am I here? And he was like, why am I here? Well, you signed the terms and agreements, and you signed away to be our next Apple product. And it was called, like, I forgot the name, but it was pretty funny. It was, like, it was something with the iPad.
I think it's iHuman.
iHuman or something like that. But if for you guys who don't know what the Human Centipede is, it's a very grotesque explanation.
What don't they just look it up?
Okay,
you know, explaining.
But
this.
What was so funny to me is that I heard that episode, really scared a lot of people, because that not like scared, like, oh, they're terrified, but it really, like,
it made them think.
Yeah, it made them give a second thought about their terms and agreements, even though. There's no way hell that's going to happen.
I heard, like, one of the materials that Apple uses can also be applied to a nuclear products too. So it's something that, like, it's something about, like a nuclear material that is used in the Apple, like, iPhone and, like, Apple products. So that's, thought was interesting.
Think it's specifically Apple, or you think Android?
No, like, specifically
that.
Apple, because I remember... shout out to Lemino, LEMMINO.
Oh, yeah, Lemino.
he made, like, a top 10 facts about Apple, and then one of them was, like, included, like, oh, like, they use, like, the product that Apple uses can also be used in the nuclear products when it comes to making, nukes.
Did you ever watch that YouTube video about the Malaysian airplane disappearing? Like, Lemino made a video about that.
I remember the part where it was, like, which I thought was very interesting, where, like, whoever was investigating this, they thought the co-pilot was the, someone of the suspect, because he, like, in his own home, he had, like,
a simulator. Yeah.
And then, like a really big one, like, it's just, like, a big screen, and then, like, the seat is just, like, you know, the same thing as the plane seat where pilots use.
They imagine it like when you go to Chuck E. Cheese and you're in when you go to those car games and you drive.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's much more advanced. Like the screens around you is like a real on screen.
Well, yeah, of course. And then, like, they identify, like, the same pattern. The exact same pattern of, like, how the actual militia air fight gone on. So and then like they thought like the co-pilot was kind of like planning for something, but then like was it debunked?
I think in the video they were disproving that, but they said it was like
this is coming out of my ass, bro. Yeah. It's just so like watch.
I would recommend that video. Just type in Lemino, L E E M I N O, Malaysian airplane disappearance.
Wait, what? You said L E E?
I thought it was L E E.
No, it's L E M M I N O. Because he's something like, let me know, but he's just like, let me know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Type in Raphael's correction, and then just type in Malaysia airplane. I think it's Malaysia.
Yeah, he's like, just, yeah.
Some sort of country.
Missing flight.
Missing flight. That, yeah. That was a very interesting video. And what I love about that YouTube channel is that they put a lot of effort into those YouTube
videos. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, but, like, the only, like, a lot of people meme about it that, like, it's inconsistent. You know, it's like, very inconsistent. Yeah. It's just like, oh, you see one video, and then, like, the 8 months later, you see another video.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, it's just like,
one video, and you
wait. I don't mind, you know. It's just it's something good, like, at least, yeah, exactly. Like, at least he put good content. It's definitely worth the wait, at least what I think.
Yeah, I think it's worth the wait. But that comes back to the point, it's that, like, a YouTube channel, like, for example, that YouTube channel with that media and how much information we have, it's kind of crazy to me that we can indulge in this information. We can learn so much. People talk about that this is, like, the informational era, like, the informational digital age, where it's coming, it's kind of colliding with, I have no hate against, like, colleges and traditional education, but it's kind of colliding against this digital education where you can learn online with this traditional education, where you can find this information. It's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, but in the same time, like, don't rely too much on YouTube or any free video services of, like, don't, you know, to tell you like what are, like, you know, what happened or like the facts or anything, you know, like, you in the same time you can, you know, it what's the problem is in one part, especially YouTube, where there's, like, a lot of freedom of speech. And that's all right. That's okay. But in the same time, they're, like, you know, how their algorithm works. And, like, they tend to, like, you know, recommend you more stuff that you mostly agree on. Instead of, like, letting you, like, look at some things that you may want to, like, you know, think about what the other side are saying, you know? It doesn't have to be, like, be politics or anything. It's just more of, like, just anything in general, you know?
Yeah,
it's like it just like it feeds you more of cookies, you know. You do like it feeds you more cookie that you like, you know, instead of like you just one that is just kind of not your taste.
Yeah, I mentioned this a couple of times. The internet is a double-edged sword. That's how I think of it. It's a good thing to use, but you have to be able to know your own intentions of what direction you're going with in the internet, because the internet, you could go into a big rabbit hole of, like, a certain subject.
Yeah.
Like, you could be, for one, researching for your biology homework, and a second, coming out, like, thinking that you're a flat earther.
Yeah.
And conspiracy theories. Like, there's an extreme, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the idea of, like, the freedom of speech, you have so much information out there. But it's only up to you to find out that it's credible. It's, you could trace the roots back into it, you know?
Yeah. A lot of people tend to, like, especially, like, on Instagram, like, we already talked about this, about Instagram, how, like, a lot of people just, like, you know, sending information through Instagram or the news, or, like, you know, I don't know, like, someone died because of this and that, you know? And, like, how do I know it's true? You know, like, yeah, you may screenshot, you may, like, send a post of a screenshot of a news source, but, like, is that news source even true, you know? Or, like, even the title, news title even true, you know? Where am I coming to this?
We talked about the internet.
Yeah, okay,
information, but it's up to you. Be careful of what information you consume, because that information could bring you to a lot of places.
Exactly. Okay, yes.
I'm not saying the internet is like a full-on drug, but when they make that argument of, like, alcohol and other things where you have to have self-control and you have to have, like, in moderation, I think the internet, it's also kind of valid in that category where you gotta have a good amount of moderate use,
yeah,
and understand what your purpose is with the internet. Because there are plenty of times, and I'm sure you guys who are listening to this have experienced those moments where on YouTube, you watch one video, that one video leads to another, and it goes down for a whole line of weird videos.
Yeah.
Or videos that you didn't even like. The videos that weren't related to the purpose of why you're on that page.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. Like, I think Victoria talked to me, like, just in a casual conversation. Like, she was doing, she was watching a video about, like, self-time management. And then next thing you know, she's watching a video about, like a Super Mario walkthrough gameplay.
Yeah.
My memory is probably, like, very wrong, but somewhere in that, the idea of, like, you could go anywhere with the internet.
Yeah.
And bring it all to a full circle.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny, too. Yeah. Just, like, it happens to, like, at least it happens to me sometimes when I was trying to watch, like, kind of, like, a serious video about some certain topics. But then YouTube is like, hey, how about you like to see some gameplay? Or, like, I don't know, like, but, like, you get this too, but, like, some old videos, like, 10 years ago.
Oh, like, yeah, YouTube just, like, algorithm is weird.
It was, like, for some reason, like, someone made, like, an ad, like, a weird animation during, like, 2010, 2009. And, like, it was, like, the weirdest, video. But, like, for some reason, I was, like, huh, like, this is kind of satisfying, too. You know, it's weird, but satisfying. But, like, I don't know. It's just something that, like, you don't, like, at least I didn't consciously thought about, of, like, where did I come from? Like, I look, because every time I look at a series of videos, I look back, or, like, you know, I go, like, step back the tab where I came from. And I was, like, how did I came to this educational video to this random-ass video that you just, like, has nothing to do with what I came here for, you know?
It's just so, like, relatable.
Exactly. It's just, like,
and I don't know. Speaking of that, I don't know if you've been seeing this on a YouTube homepage, but since World War III, the key term has been trending. There are so many videos that has been resurfacing that's been related to, like,
Iran. War.
You ever heard that YouTube channel called Infographics Show?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they made an old YouTube video, like, very old, before even, like, the Iran assassination of
Soleimani.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah. Sorry if my pronunciation is wrong.
The YouTube video was about if United States versus Iran, who would win?
I actually watched that video, too.
Yeah, that video was way before.
I thought it was I thought that was new, too. Like, when I first saw that, I was like, oh, well, I'm guessing this is related to World War III, right? And then I look at the date, and he was like, when was that?
It's like 3 months ago.
Exactly.
There's a Joe Rogan podcast clip with, like, this the CEO named Jocko Willink.
What the hell? Like,
what?
No, sorry. It's just, like, not that. I'm saying, like,
I have a Jocko Willink, and in the video was, like, how to prepare for war. And that was, like, way before. And these videos are resurfacing.
Yeah.
Like, videos that are just related to, like, war in general. Everybody in the comments, every when you click on the video, everybody's like, who's here because of the YouTube algorithm? Everyone's, like, there. It's so funny. Yeah, we didn't want to go on this whole tangent about YouTube and YouTube's antics with the YouTube
But algorithm. Actually, like, let's talk about the entertainment industries, like the mainstream. You've definitely seen the speech in the Golden Globes, right?
Yeah, I seen a speech. I don't really, like, pay attention to the Golden Globes, to be honest.
I don't pay attention to Golden Globes either.
I hope you guys don't hate me because of this, but I don't really listen or, like, keep track of the award ceremonies.
Why would they hate you for that? Like, I mean, really.
I'm sure, hope none of you film enthusiasts will hate me of that. But,
okay.
I mean, like, I hear, like, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm triggered. Like, Eric doesn't. Is there,
well, I mean, like, no one. It's just a preference.
Yeah. But I just want to point out that out. I just don't really keep
track. I don't keep track on Oscars or Golden Globes or any, like, type of, like, film awards.
Yeah.
You just say something that, you know.
But I didn't want to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
But I do hear, like, here and there, like, oh, I hear, like, this person got an award. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's not like I continuously follow what's going on, like, an avid fan, which is okay. Like, I'm sure we have our own type of areas where we continuously follow the trends of. But yeah, I heard about the Golden Globe speech. You want to talk about that? But there's two sides of it. There's one side, it's like, oh, shit, roasted. Oh,
what's that guy called? Ricky Gervais?
Ricky Emmanuel, do you know?
Do you know the name? Have you seen the Golden
Globes? Have you seen the Golden Globes speech?
No. Do you know the comedian Ricky Gervais?
Ricky Gervais.
Is that how you pronounce his name? All right, he doesn't know.
We're talking about...
All right, let's just call him Ricky Gervais. If I'm wrong, then, like...
Watch what his name is completely different.
Look at... All right, listen. So, like, but this comedian... Let's just say the comedian, right? The comedian, he was hosting his show, and he was actually hosting it for, like, the fifth time. I don't know if it was in a row, but, like, it was his fifth time. So, then, like, he said, like, this is, like, his last time hosting, so he just didn't give a fuck. So, he was just saying, like, oh, you know, he was, like, not exposing, but, like, he was, like speaking, like, his terms when it comes to, like, the entertainment industry. Like, he made a joke or something, like, oh, like this person didn't kill himself, just like Jeffrey Epstein. And then, like,
Everybody was like, oh, yeah, exactly.
And then he was like, shut up, you know.
He's my friend, too. Don't worry about it.
No. He's like, he's your friend, too. Like, no.
Yeah. But,
I fucked up already, but, yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, Ricky Gervais.
Well, a lot of people could say Gervais. Yeah, because, like, so his pronunciation. So, but I was kind of right,
but
yeah.
I just heard, like, another side is that he's always done this for every speech he did. Yeah. Because he's always assuming that it is his last speech.
Yeah.
But they keep calling up. They keep calling him up for it.
Yeah.
But but the idea is that speech just shows, like, how PC everyone is. And, like.
Oh, he shat on Apple. Right in front of
Tim Cook. Oh, yeah, Tim Cook. When they had, like, that camera angle, like, yeah. They showed his face, Tim Cook, right before.
No, it was before he mentioned
it.
Yeah, it was before he mentioned it.
And that was just so ironic to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was sweet. You know, he was talking real stuff, you know.
Yeah, speaking of that, there was a scene in South Park where they kind of had, like, an award ceremony like that with, like, the best actresses and actors and whatnot and film directors. And, I think Randy, I probably have a really fuzzy memory, but Randy was like,
can I be honest? I feel like for the past, like, 20 minutes or so, just like we've been wrong about everything. I don't know, but go ahead.
But hey, that's,
you know, we make mistakes. We make mistakes.
But, you know? But Randy was like, guys, we gotta be careful. Like, reality, which is like a character, he's like, reality might show up. Like, we need to be careful. Don't let him in. And reality, like, crashed the stage. And he was like, talking about, like, you fuckers are, like, stealing our money and, like, everything and whatnot, and talking smack, like how Ricky Gervais did,
yeah,
and stuff like that, and then actors and actresses were like, oh snap, like,
yeah,
we are like that, and it was just funny to me because it got that kind of parallel theme.
I feel like I did saw it, but I don't.
Yeah,
it's all fuzzy.
I don't even know if it's Randy or not.
You know, we just talking, literally out of our ass in this, but. You know, yeah. It happens, but
I'm sure it's
like when it comes to film industries, especially now that China has also come to play, or at least China was like one of the topics that was talked about bad like in the last month or two, especially with that NBA thing.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that like someone said that like the reason why we don't really see too much of like a Chinese villain or things like that is so like the film industries. They want to expand their audience, and they want their film to be in China, you know, something like that. Like, can't leave, they don't want to like censor things like that, so like they can have like the money and things like that. And I thought it was like, you know, it was crazy that now like film industry is gonna have to like, you know, instead of just doing what they want to do, they just gonna be like, okay, we can't do this because like, you know, okay, China do not want that, or other countries do not want that. It was way too censored of like what's going on around the world.
Yeah, I read a comment where in some scenes, they'll like some movies, I think some Marvel movies actually, when they released that Marvel movie in China, sometimes they will replace like actors and actresses with Chinese people who are like say for example, there's a scene, I read a comment, so take it or leave it if it's right or not, but they were talking about how like if there was a scene of this person getting saved by a doctor, they would change that scene to China and replace that actor or actress with an Asian actor or actress, particularly Chinese, to make look to think about like the Chinese people are doing the good part.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, it's like a Chinese doctor, he's like saving that guy's life.
Yeah,
like, oh shit, we're
Chinese people are good, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I have no beef with Chinese people, but it's just like, I'm not saying like I'm technically part Chinese, so like that's kind of weird.
I forgot about that, but yeah, okay, yeah.
I'm of Hong Kong descent. If you really think, if you want to like really be technical about it, because of like the Hong Kong protests and like mainland China, but yeah, but it's just like the politics. Politics is what separates a lot of people.
Yeah, me and Emmanuel basically had a small talk about politics before we started a podcast of how like it's just mostly just like, you know, the radicals is just like more of like sometimes mostly like about the, sorry, like part of the problem of just like, you okay?
No, I'm completely fine. It's just like Emmanuel's just chilling.
No, he's just like
looking at Emmanuel.
No, sorry, he's just like he just felt really uncomfortable. So I was like, okay.
Well, I mean, I just want to give you guys a side note is that this room is like a sauna. Like I'm speaking now and I am sweating. The more I speak,
can the video see us sweating? Yeah, I don't know, but no, but we're like this is very humid. But going back to what we just talked about, it's like I don't know, it's just more of like. It's just like we just focus too much on the labels, you know.
That's like society, man.
Yeah, I know. It's just like
we live in a society.
No, but I think it's just like now, like more of a thing, you know. It's just like, oh, like you know, if you're left, I don't like you. Or if you're right, I don't like you. You just like, is that really the, like, you know, the point? Of, like, where we're like, what are you actually trying to do here? You know?
Where is the civil discussion here, folks?
Yes, but
I'm triggered right now. Just kidding, I'm not.
I guess you could. This has nothing to do with the entertainment industry, but it like
I mean the thing with entertainment, you could kind of entertainment is everywhere in our lives, anywhere we speak. Like this is entertainment ourselves. Where for one, I do know that we're entertaining ourselves with the stuff that we're pulling out right now, and this could be entertaining to some people. And yeah, it's just a form of entertainment. This podcast.
Yeah, the point of entertainment is simply like. Not to let out ideas, but also just like to have a person watch something, hear something, have a little fun, you know. So it's something that's not really too like something that can get us out of like, you know, like our work and like the things that we do during our break, you know, things like that. That's like the whole point of entertainment. And sometimes when it comes to mainstream, you know, like in mainstream film industries, things like that, it's more of a. You know, there's cause some rules that's gonna be applied in order to, at least for the industry, to get the wide ranges of audience.
Yeah.
And things like that.
I think, in my opinion, when a person consumes entertainment, I think the other end, that person also has to create their own source of entertainment or their own outlet, creative outlet. Because entertainment of itself is creative. Like creativity entertains people, it interests people, it captivates people. So it's cool to me that like when you indulge in your own things that you're interested in, and then you can create the things that you're inspired from, is very beautiful. It's like, for example, I can indulge in entertainment of film. I love watching. I could be a very avid, passionate film fan. I love directors' works. I admire their work. I admire their craft.
Yeah.
And then the other end, I am inspired by it and then create my own films or create my own things. I storyboard, create an indie film, things like that. And that's an example of how entertainment is like so fluid in our lives and how entertainment is so just interesting, beautiful, and how it influences us.
What exactly is like
entertainment?
Yes. That's not the question that I've like really meant to ask. It's just
what
something
is
that like
entertainment.
No. It's just something that like how when it comes to entertainment industry, what does that include? Because the thing is that a lot of people have different opinions on that.
I think
like does it even include like everything that makes.
I think
people
it overlooks a lot of things. The like the general perspective.
Like music industry, movies
music industry, film
YouTube.
Industry. Art industry, theater, because when you said entertainment, entertainment industry, the first thing I thought of is Hollywood, because that's a, like very, very hammered in our heads, our idea of entertainment as typically when you're American, is the idea of Hollywood is like the entertainment industry is like these famous actors and actresses,
actors and actors.
Scene like shoot like but it overlooks a lot of things because there's a lot of work behind the scenes. There's directors. There's what?
No, he's just like, scene and shoot. And, scene. And I just it reminds me of like, or like in my head, when you say shoot, it's like, pop out, you know, like shoot this people.
Okay, it's not an entertainment industry. I do not want to be.
I know. But I don't know. I just thought of it.
But I think that stereotypical perspective overlooks a lot of things. It overlooks people who are smaller scale, smaller business side, who are making their own films, making their own scripts. Because you leave out the script writers, you leave out the storyboarders, you leave out the cinematographers, the film directors. There's so many things besides just actor and actresses.
Yeah. You know? Like there's... Especially when it comes to movies, and I just thought about it, like, especially when after Joker, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, talk too much about
that.
With
the one Joaquin Phoenix?
Well, of course. But it's just that I heard someone said, like, in one of the video essays saying that, like, it's not just the director and the actors. Like, a lot of people, like, are, like, behind these movies.
Exactly.
The editors, like, the lighting and, like, and everything, like... In order to execute a well-made movie, they need to have a really strong communication within the movie, you know, or like at least the making of the movie, and that's what I think creates like a really great movie, because like a lot of people are understanding what each other want from each other, in order to like to make this movie, you know, and then that's like again comes to a problem when it comes to like censorship and things like that, when one person already don't want something and he doesn't really already want to communicate what that person doesn't want, then it's already like already causing problems, you know, it's already like you know, it's already kind of already messing up the movie in some sort of form of way, you know, like the movie may be good, but it is something that like not as great as not that everyone wants, you know, including the people that made the movie themselves, you know, because yes, like the people made the movie. But at the same time, like, they wanted to enjoy it for themselves, you know? They want to see what they create, you know? Because one day, like, once they, like, had, like, some form of censorship or something that they can't do, and then, like, once they, like, watch the movie, they probably be like, damn, like, if only I could have done this, you know? It probably would so much better, you know? It's like, what really makes a great movie, or at least, there's, like, more factors into it, but one of them, it has to be that everyone has to enjoy this movie. Everyone, like, it makes sense, like, you know, for some actors, like, they don't want to see themselves, like, watch the movie, you know, like, or, like, with that, their star, their own it, you know, but it's something that I think a lot of people, especially people that made the movie, that should enjoy their creation, you know, because they're basically God, you know, it's just, like, you know, they want to create something, and then just, like, imagine God, he just, like, you know, like, did something that he didn't want to do, and just be like, God damn. I didn't want to do this, you know. That didn't make sense, but I think.
Yeah, I perfectly understand what you're saying. Is that when you the most enjoyment of what you get when creating your craft is the ability and have the full liberty to do what you want, and not also have to do what you want, but you and the people who are also working on that product you are making also enjoy what they're doing. Because if you do have that, then you will create the best product you can as you possibly can for your personal satisfaction.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want to create anything just for the sake of others.
Yeah.
I think the most personal fulfillment is when you create a certain thing for yourself, or when you're in a team, when that team creates it for themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And take it or leave it if you don't have a large audience that admires the film, but as long as you personally like that film that you made and put your blood, sweat, and tears, I think that's what personal fulfillment and what really entertainment is to me, is that the idea of being able to personally pour your effort into something that you enjoy, that medium, and present medium and do it the way you want it and share with people.
He definitely translated the things that I'm trying to say, but that was well made. But like, but that also applies to everything too: artists, writers, singers, like everything too. Like, something that you want to do And once you finish that, you know, basically the same thing you just said. It's just like, once you did everything that you wanted to do, every single checklist that you wanted to do, and it ended so great. As also as long as that applied for yourself too, and not like for your good, if that makes sense. Something like, don't be greedy, you know. Don't do something that's just for the money. Just do something for yourself, type of thing.
I think that's a definitely hard dichotomy, or like a problem like a lot of artists face today, especially for our artists who are doing art for a living. Is that idea? Well, what's the line between doing anything that you want to do for yourself and the side of doing that art so you can survive, right?
Right.
Like, there are some things where some artists, like, they follow a certain niche because they need to use that niche to their advantage to survive as an artist. I think that's a lot of problems, like, a lot of artists face. So I'm sure it expands to many occupations that we don't typically think of as an artist, like a filmmaker, artist,
I actually like
music producer.
I like to, like,
it's kind of like rappers when I think of it. Like, do you want to make your own lyrical style, or do you want to be follow the crowd and just be a trap artist and get the money? But that's just like any example.
But I would definitely like to see someone else who's within that industry. It doesn't have to be big. It can give me like something that they work for, or like, you know, I like to see their view on this, because of course we're both not within the industry. You know, we don't have the inside of it, but like, I would like to have their insight on it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of stages in anything where you create your own niche or you create your own style.
Yeah.
Like, for one, there could be some, it could be either acceptance or denial of like the audience likes your style or your audience doesn't like your style. Mm-hmm. And as that stage is like the dip, is like, you're not progressing, you're not improving, you're not getting more acceptance. And then sometimes after that stage, people actually like your style.
Yeah.
And plenty of artists have gone through that, especially when people like appraise like the price of art. Like, when the current artist is alive, the art is stereotypically not as appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But when they die, then their art like skyrockets, because it's like, oh my God, that art style is so unique. It's so, what's the word? Like, so special. Like, now that artist is gone, like, we can't have it back. It's only until like after, it's only after a certain amount of time they start to see that style or start to like respect it or acknowledge it.
Right.
But that's coming from my perspective. I'm sure anyone in their own industry of entertainment has gone through similar problems.
Honestly, I did, for some reason, problems. Like, this is just like a pessimistic thoughts, but like, it's more like if someone within the industry were like be hearing this, they were like, what the fuck is this talking about? You know,
yeah,
like,
I'm just making my art. Like, I don't know what.
No, it's just not even that. It's just like, they're so fucking wrong. Like, why are they talking? They have no idea what the hell they're talking about. You know, I don't know. It's just like, again, we're just college students. Oh, you know, doing our things.
I think the purpose of this podcast. Now, I think the purpose of this podcast is just to record our journey and record our thoughts and
our mindset on things.
We don't want to be obligated to. We don't want to be committed to an opinion that we say now. Then when we do 5 years later down the line.
Yeah, because the things that's part of life. You know, the things that there's gonna be things that will change us. You know, and probably like the opinion that we have now may change throughout the next 5 years. Like just like you said.
Yeah.
Like, I'm for sure know that some things that I just said may be wrong, and something that I just said may be right. Would you like to add anything to that?
Through that, it's like being humble about it.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect mindset I kind of want to have or kind of want to pursue, is that idea of like, oh, I'm confident in what I pursue and my opinions, my thoughts, but I'm still open-minded. I'm still calm about being wrong. Still accepted, like, I could be wrong or I could be right. That's just how it is. And I think we all are.
And that's how we grow.
Yeah, we all are on the Meal Deals team pursuing that and understanding that. And that's what I love about this podcast, is that it's more like we kind of made this analogy where it's kind of like this journal. It's like we're just recording our journey into our lives and our personal self-growth.
Yes.
Because when people think of self-improvement, they think of like, oh yeah, that episode where you can do it, you can attack the day. Well, yeah, you gotta. It's good to have motivation, but also it's interesting for us to talk about more subjects that are more in depth, more personal. And I think that's what people should look for: more of a personal connection, more not instead of like a surface level topic of like how to do this X, Y, and Z. Where sometimes we might be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good to do a couple episodes like that, like how we did in the beginning of the podcast, like how to find your passion, how things like that. And it's not a complete how to do instruction, but we talk about it because it feels like we are by talking about it, by stirring discussion about it, we're kind of already like making a step towards that direction.
Yeah.
That's towards that direction of self-improvement. Like we said, there's no formula for anything.
Yeah. What Eric just said, I 100% agree of what he just said. Because, like, you know, I think he just said everything. I don't think I should add anything more. You know, he already everything
this that entertainment, you guys should know. This entertainment topic episode has gone down a spiral. We talked about information. We talked about the Malaysian airplane disappearance.
Yeah, and then we talked about China.
China,
like
Iran.
Radical
politics.
Yeah.
To South Park.
Yeah.
To our film industry.
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais. I think that we touch on a lot of interesting topics, but I think that's what's the beauty of a podcast. And I want to say one more thing is that what I find so beautiful about entertainment in the form of podcast is that every podcast is unique. Every podcast is different.
Yeah,
there's
for sure.
Some podcasts that are very like NPR, as very like broadcasted, like traditional. It's like this.
Yeah,
happens.
It's like we're like formal. And then there's
very
others,
scripted.
And there's others that just like very like
casual.
Yeah, just casual like or informal. It's just like
off the whim.
Yeah.
Because I listened to a podcast episode about people, they're responding to messages they get from their Discord to something about the zombie apocalypse. And they never expected to talk about the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
And like how I never expected to talk about South Park and Ricky Gervais and the radical left and right.
Yeah, because like what we tend to do is just like we only like put in like just like a small brief of like what we're going to talk about in a certain podcast. And then after that, we just go, you know, we just go from that title and just talk about whatever that is related to it and what we think about it. So like compared to like very first episode, it was kind of a little bit scripted. Like, of course, we didn't say everything for word what we wrote, but at the same time, like we just like write things that like that want to like let us like remember like what we want to talk about. But I think it will be more authentic if we just like let it flow the conversation, no matter how stupid we sound, you know?
Yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode. I definitely enjoyed talking about this topic. If you want to email us, our email is officialmealdeals@gmail.com. If you want to message us on Instagram or follow us, our Instagram name is @officialmealdeals. And our Twitter is also that name as well, officialmealdeals.
If you see three faces in the profile picture, most likely it is us.
And yes. We would like to thank you guys for listening to us. We would like to thank Emmanuel and Victoria and Kevin for being part of our podcast team and helping us out. Thank you guys. Yes. We'll see you guys later.
See ya.
See ya.